There are so many judgmental people out there, and aren't you glad that people like you and me are not judgmental on this episode of Inverse?
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Judge not lest you be judged. This is one of the most famous verses that people are aware of. You are watching Inverse here in the studio. My name is Justin Kim, and I have my friends Siku, Callie, and Jonathan in the studio, and we're looking at the Book of Romans. If you haven't done it already, go to hopetv.org/inverse to look at last week's episode and catch up on our really systematic study in the Book of Romans. We'll look at chapter 2, and before we read scripture, Siku, if you can pray for us.
Sure. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are thankful for the gift of salvation. We're thankful that we have knowledge of the gospel. And as we continue to study your word, we pray that we can truly come to appreciate the wonderful message that the gospel is, and that you would use it to transform our lives so that it can transform others as well. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Callie, we looked at chapter 1 last week, and can you just kind of hit those high points, and we'll read, Jonathan, you read chapter 2, but let's just kind of recap and then move in.
Yeah, so we talked about in chapter 1, the main thing there was why and how Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, what the gospel is, and how he is a debtor to share it with all people, no matter who it is. And we also talked about what God's wrath is and is not.
It's this big solution to save the world's problems,
yeah?
And then a component of that is God's wrath. And it's not his, like, his anger, but there is a component where he needs to eliminate that the sin problem,
yeah?
And then we go to chapter 2, and I love Romans because it is systematic.
It is.
Maybe it's the nerd in me that's just like, all right, A and then B. And then, so if you're out there and you don't like that, then tough. It's scripture. And it's in the verse, so deal with it. But it's that important of a solution. And so Paul's being very, very logical with that. Let's go to chapter 2 of Romans, chapter 2, and we'll start from verse 12. And John, if you can read there.
Sure. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having a law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in a day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel.
Okay, let's go to verse 17, and Siku, if you can pick up there.
Sure. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written.
All right, we'll stop there. We'll stop there. And thank you for that reading. That's good. It makes me, it reminds me of that when the ancient scriptures were first written, they were read out loud, and people had to listen to them. Too often we think, like, oh, they have their Bibles, and they're all, like, listening along. But so we want to just encourage you. I know that sometimes when you're listening to scripture, your mind tends to zone out. And this is why we have Bible study guides. So go to inversebible.org, and you can download and you can use it online or however you want to do it, our Bible study guide on the Book of Romans. And we are very excited about the Bible study guide because it interacts with your digital device and the text and together. So it's one way to get into the verse. So hey, what's going on here? I mean, this is a long passage, and for those of us who did zone out, what's going on? And let's zone back in. What's it talking about? Siku.
Think of the first part that Jonathan read, where he's talking about those who have sinned without the law perishing. And for me, this section, like from verse 12 to 16, growing up in Zimbabwe, and, you know, missionaries came to Africa and brought, you know, the gospel to southern Africa. Mm-hmm. And I always used to wonder growing up, like, what did my grandparents do, great-great-grandparents do? Like, what will happen in the judgment? Like, how does God judge them when missionaries hadn't come to Zimbabwe?
The generation before Christianity.
And generations before that. Mm-hmm. And this text for me answers that God has a way of judging even the people who may not have had access to God's law in the form that we have it in the Word of God, but that God reveals himself even to those people. And so that even if a missionary hadn't come, it's not like God was absent from them and God doesn't care, but God still interacted with them and revealed himself to them.
Yes.
At a certain level, and he'll judge them by the knowledge that they did have.
Yeah, excellent question, an excellent answer. People are worried about that question. Mm-hmm. How many of you guys have you ever heard that question? What about those people in Africa? And you're talking someone from Africa. Very, 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 very good, very good.
Right.
That's very interesting. When I went to Africa, they're like, well, what about those people living in Korea? In North Korea, I'm like, what? It was just this reversal of worlds, but it was cool. But we are worried about or anxious about older generations or current people who have never heard of the gospel. What happens to them? Jonathan?
Yeah, in the second section, kind of what Siku had been reading.
Yep.
It talks about...
You guys are commenting on each other.
Right. So he moves from the Gentiles now to the Jews. And he's very interesting in his approach because he starts like, indeed, you are called a Jew. You rest in the law. You make your boast in God. You approve of these things. You know, you've been instructed. You're confident. You're guide to the blind. You know,
Wow.
You are a Jew.
Yes.
And then verse 21, you therefore who teach... another, do you not teach yourself? So now Paul is saying to these, to the people who just feel like, I'm one of these guys. It's like, oh wait, hold on, you approve these things, but you don't practice.
Mm.
You have the law, you know, the Gentiles, they don't have the law, and you know, you kind of look down on them. But you who have the law, mm-hmm. you're not better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hate to break it to you. Mm-hmm. We know from Paul from other places where he says, you know, I'm a chief of sinners. And he was, but he considered himself at one point, you know, the most righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is now turning the tables, not because he's evil or angry with his fellow, countrymen, but because he wants them to see the reality of what it means to stand before God mm-hmm. as a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you might have access to all these things, it doesn't make you automatically righteous.
Mm-hmm. Very insightful, Jonathan. And I think Asiku's tone when she was reading it kind of exaggerated in a very good way.
Yes.
But I just love that. It is kind of passive, I don't want to say passive aggressive, but passive... Mm-hmm. Emphatic. And I love what you said there. Verse 21, verse 19, you are a guide to the blind.
Yes.
If we can zoom back to verse 1, you need an exclamation mark. Verse 1, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. And going back to chapter 1, I mean, he's just taking a bazooka and going at the pagans. He's like, they're worshiping idols. You guys aren't righteous.
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like, yeah.
Get them.
And then chapter 2, verse 1 is like, they're for you. Mm-hmm. And in this section. Yeah, all mankind. Mm-hmm. So basically, what is Paul saying in chapter 2? What's kind of his argument? Siku? Before you want to answer,
yeah,
you want to say something
before
else.
The,
okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't ask that. Wait.
After Jonathan's, you know, like just seeing the contrast, like side by side, those two portions of scripture that we read, the one thing that jumps out at me is Paul is saying that knowledge isn't the problem. Right? Mm-hmm. Because you know you have this information, you know the law, you know, and sometimes you can think, oh, those poor people, they don't know, right? And we can take pride in, we think we're better than people mm-hmm. because we know stuff. And Paul is saying that there's a transformation that needs to happen in your life that doesn't come solely on knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So what God accomplishes in your life and this thing that he's talking about that is so powerful, it's not just knowledge-based. Yes, knowledge is important. You have the law,
right,
which makes you inexcusable, mm-hmm. but the knowledge isn't the thing that is going to actually solve this problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, and more information is not going to resolve it. So.
and many in our generation do have that mode of thinking,
mm-hmm.
right? I know that in the way that my wife and I function, when people say something, we go online and we fact check it.
Yep.
Or we go to Amazon and say, is that the actual the best product? Well, we see all the products. Oh, that's not the best product. We have more information here. And we think it's righteous by information, right? We're trying to hack the system and these little habits here, and then we write in our journals, and we think we the more we know, the better we will perform. But you're saying no. All that is useless. Mm-hmm. Down with Amazon. Is that what you're saying?
Down with Google.
Down with Google. We need something more than information.
More than information is necessary. And to go to, you read verse 1. If we could read verse 11.
Okay.
Where it says,
verse 11 of chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For there is no partiality with God. Mm. So whether you're a Jew, Gentile, whatever level of knowledge or information that you have, God is not partial in the way that he deals with us.
Yes.
You know, so God is fair.
Yes.
And we have our notion of what fair looks like, but God's fairness apparently is different from how we conceive of it.
You all catch that? In chapter 1, everyone needs the gospel. Chapter 2, everyone needs the gospel because there's no advantage. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And everyone's evil and everyone's a sinner, Callie. Mm-hmm. Yeah? okay. Even Callie's a sinner, aren't you? dear sister Callie. Jonathan.
Yeah, no, I was actually just going to make that same point,
okay.
Saying that we are all, Paul is trying to make it clear for everyone, no matter how much information you have, you are a sinner.
Yes.
And that is not necessarily, you know, he's not trying to blast you, oh, you're so bad. He's just saying, this is the reality we're talking about. We deceive ourselves with so many things, you know. Mm-hmm. The problem of in Israel was that they were deceiving themselves by thinking, we have all this knowledge, we have all these rituals. That is, you know, that's what's keeping us safe. We have circumcision. He points to that later in starting verse 25. Oh, well, yeah, I'm circumcised, so I'm good, right?
Yes.
So having all these things, Paul is blowing the lid off that and saying, no, like, it doesn't matter what you have, because chapter 1, we talked about this, the righteousness that you need is the righteousness of God, which only he can give you. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to just level the playing field and say, okay, here we are all standing before God, the God of the gospel, the God who wants to save us. But let's get the facts straight. We're all on the same level. We are not better or
He's worse. Really dressing down all of humanity into two chapters, right? And there's, and as uncomfortable as it may be, we kind of need this experience to even really appreciate being saved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean, what are we being saved from, right, that realization?
Right.
I was going to say, in terms of, I know we talked about that contrast between those who know and those who don't, but in terms of leveling the playing field, this means that even the person that I would consider to be worse off than me, and you said in your teaser about judging people, it's kind of like the Jews look at the Gentiles judgmentally, you know, like they're worse off than me, they behave worse than me, you know, and but he's saying that person who you think is the worst of the worst, you guys are at the same level, you know? Like, the person that you could not conceive of them being in heaven because they did such heinous crimes, you guys are at the same level. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Like, how many of you resonate with that? Do you ever have this kind of trip that you have that in your mind, whether it's through information or through ritual or tradition, that you are better than other people? We're going to address that when we come after the break.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Welcome back. The self-elevating moral hierarchy is what some people call it. And we place ourselves in this kind of spectrum. And don't we do it? Like, hey, at least I'm not a murderer. And the murderer's like, well, I'm not a child molester. And the child molester was like, at least I don't sell nuclear weapons to North Korea. And then the North Koreans are like, well, at least I'm not. Yeah, whatever, they go into their thing. And we kind of place ourselves, we don't look above us, but we definitely look below us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get into these traps. And then it's the self-deception that we may not really need to be saved that much. Because I'm not as bad as all these other people, and they really need the salvation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Callie, you've been really quiet with us, and then you're kind of looking at us judgmentally from your perch there. What's going on in chapter 2 and in your mind?
I'll go with my mind. So I'm also reminded of the verse, way left field, but 1 Corinthians 8:1, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies.
Okay.
Okay. Not to go there.
All right. Yeah, no, you're true. Knowledge does puff up, going back to information. Yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely think, you know, there's been points in my journey that I'm just like, yeah, if I memorize all these Bible verses, I'm just so much better than everyone. Because I can meditate on scripture all the time, and I'm just super holy, and everyone, like, has opened their Bible like pagans. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously I'm not thinking that strongly, but you kind of are. When someone's like, oh, yeah, they're opening the Bible, like, I know what that verse says. Mm-hmm. And it's just that we're wielding the sword of the Spirit, like, in the wrong way. That's the wrong wielding. And I also think, too, you know, sometimes we have different struggles from people. There are certain sins or certain temptations that are hard for me to resist versus others. I'm like, I don't even see why that's a problem for someone. Mm-hmm. And a very humbling experience I had was, you know, my friends would come to me and talk to me about how they were struggling in their romantic relationships, struggling keeping the proper physical boundaries or just kind of really staying on track. And I'm like, that you're just not holy enough. Like, I don't really know what your problem is. Mm-hmm. And it's because I've never had a boyfriend. And so I was just like, man, you just need to pray more. You just need Jesus. I don't know what your problem is. And then I started...
A wonderful Christian answer there, right?
You
just need to pray more.
Yeah, I'm like, you just need to pray more. And I'm like, just don't be alone after dark. What's your problem?
Yeah.
But then I started dating my now husband, and I was like, oh, this is kind of hard. Yeah, this is actually kind of difficult. And I remember saying that to him. He's like, yeah? Like, I'm like, this is my first relationship. He's like, oh, yeah. And so even just that experience showed me that, first, we're different. And I hadn't even realized how judgmental I'd been towards people until I was struggling with the same thing. I was like, this is actually difficult. Mm-hmm. Just like as someone who doesn't have kids, I see people who have kids. I'm like, my kid will never act like that. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm going to be humbled when I have children and be like, my kids act like that.
Yes, you will.
You guys have great kids. I don't judge you in your parenting. And so, but it's just the same thing where I don't think we should have to suffer or struggle with the same thing in order to have compassion, empathy, right? Because Jesus never sinned, but he was still very empathetic and sympathetic and kind. Mm-hmm. And we need to have that, like, instead of seeing this hierarchy of just like, yeah, we're all here together and we all need the grace of Christ. We've all sinned and we all don't merit the gift that he gives us. Mm-hmm. And so even if, yeah, like, I don't do the 12 sins you do, it doesn't make me better. You deserve my prayers, and you deserve my encouragement, and you deserve my camaraderie as a brother and sister in Christ.
Callie, while you're mentioning these things, like, I'm thinking, I mean, this Jesus that you're presenting is a very judgment neutral Jesus, yes, and it's so inviting. Like, I want to be that way. And then while you guys were talking, like, there are people who are judgmental, yeah? I mean, they look down, and I'm definitely in that boat. And then there's people on the other side who are let's say, they'll call them the judged, but they are also judgmental, too, on a different side, yeah? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, those are all the believer people, and they should have their act together, but they don't. They're just like me. At least I know that I'm not together and I'm real and they're not. So the judgment is actually going on both ways.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is that real Christianity is this Jesus who is free from this, which the Bible talks about, and also free from this other side.
Because
he's just looking at us empathetically.
Yeah. Because the important thing, too, is to remember that Jesus didn't not ever talk about sin, right? He's not like, everything's fine, everything is beautiful. Like, he's like, hey, that's not good, let's not do that, come and hang out with me. And so, but I think of it where I was talking to a good friend recently and he was going the wrong direction and I was really convicted to talk to him about that, but it was making me sick to my stomach to have to talk to him so straight. It wasn't like, I'm gonna go blast this dude, I'm gonna go set him, like, it wasn't, I was just like, hey, I really feel convicted to talk to you about this. But that's how Jesus was, right? He was weeping over the nations.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I longed for you to come to me, but you refused.
Right, right.
And that is the judgmentalism of Jesus, where it's an invitation to come back into love, and it's a drawing, not a condemnation that, like, chases people to hack them to pieces.
I think another aspect of, you know, there's the empathy that comes from, you know, realizing that I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to point to in verse 1 of chapter 2 again.
Chapter 2, verse 1.
Uh-huh. Where it says, therefore, you're inexcusable, O man.
Yeah.
It's almost like looking at and seeing the evil and the wickedness of somebody else.
You can see it.
What it ought to do is point you inward to your own wickedness.
Oh.
right?
Yeah.
What it usually does, because of sinfulness, what it does is it causes me to think I'm elevated above them, or, you know,
right,
like to point
right.
a finger whether up or down. But what it's saying is, when you see that, when you see the wickedness of somebody's heart, what it should remind you of is that you are inexcusable,
mm-hmm.
because you can actually see that that is wicked. You don't know if they know what they're doing is wrong. You don't know their life. You don't know what's been happening with them. God is the one who's going to judge them.
Right.
But when you see that, it ought to cause you to look at yourself
mm-hmm.
and judge yourself. But we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want God to search me.
Yeah.
I want to search somebody else.
Right. Because
life.
It's painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful. I want to look at other people's problems, not mine.
It's much more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
But the beautiful thing is, if I can bring the gospel back in, is that when
no.
the Paul's making it clear, chapter 2, chapter 3, all have sinned, everyone is wicked.
Yes.
When I realize that, and I look at Jesus, and I see how he treats me. He gives me the grace treatment, right? And how he is loving and kind towards me. He has empathy. Realizing then that his love is directed towards me in that way, it kind of takes off the burden of me trying to make myself feel good or make myself look better in the eyes of God. I know I'm loved. I don't have to, you know, make myself look better by judging others or make myself feel better by judging others. I know I'm loved. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm cool. I'm good with God. But that helps me because in that light, I stop pretending
mm-hmm.
and I realize my brokenness that needs healing from Jesus.
Amen.
But then that helps me to see through the judgmentalism of others and see the brokenness that's inside of them and have empathy towards them despite what they're doing.
I'm going to underscore that. Say that again. Say that again.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what I said.
Because that's so true.
Right, yeah.
I mean, on shows like this, many times we can't judge. People are judgmental. And we underscore that point.
Right.
But when people are judgmental, what is that a revelation of?
It's a revelation of the brokenness that they are dealing with.
Yes.
And so you can kind of just look beyond the judgment, look beyond the negativity that's coming. And to see, you can still have compassion because you see this person is actually hurting. They don't realize they're hurting. They don't realize there's a solution, you know,
mm-hmm.
to this sin pandemic. And you can approach them with empathy, with love,
yes.
with
right.
patience and kindness, and give them the grace treatment that Jesus has been
but
giving.
But I want to ask you even further. You said look beyond. And
mm-hmm.
I want to say, how do you look beyond?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we can say look beyond, and we do try to do that in our own strength. And
right.
it becomes this downward sinful spiral too, right?
Yes.
How do we do even that much?
It's only...
It's only you're saying.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. and
totally.
So how does Jesus...
What do you want me to say?
Totally.
Well, how does Jesus look at me?
Yeah.
He looks, you know, when he justifies us, when he does the salvation miracle in our lives, he looks at the potential. He looks at the end game. He knows where he's going to take me when I trust in him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can know that God, with every human being who is struggling with their brokenness, you know, and that expresses itself in that, you know, mean ways, you can know that there's a potential there that you can't even imagine that God can do in this person's life. And that
mm-hmm.
when you keep that in mind, it will also, of course, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps you, but it helps you to just treat that person with kindness instead of reflecting that judgment or whatever they're throwing
can
at
I,
you.
Can I add to that? You know, they say that some of the kindest people are the poorest people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they know poverty.
Yes.
And because they know poverty, when they see poverty in somebody else, they want to help.
Mm-hmm.
When we know our own brokenness,
mm-hmm.
we will recognize brokenness in other people.
Mm.
In the sense that when we know our own brokenness and Jesus is healing us, you know, and he's restoring us,
mm-hmm.
then when we see brokenness in other people, I'm not like, oh, what's wrong with you? I recognize
yes.
what's going on.
Mm.
I know that I'm judgmental. I know that I've struggled with being judgmental. And I've seen what God is doing in my life. And when I see that in somebody else, I recognize what's going on because
mm-hmm.
I've had that experience,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's important this... It's not to be, you know, sadistic, like the looking to ourselves to ask God to search us, you know, for our sinfulness. It's foundational to even the salvation experience.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot experience that transformation
right.
and that restoration
mm-hmm.
until we take a hard look in the mirror, so
yes.
to speak, and face the reality that we're messed up.
Yes, excellent
yeah.
point. Excellent point.
Even in addition to seeing that brokenness in other people, the only way we are able to withstand it and not want to retaliate in kind
mm.
is by having that security in Christ ourselves.
Yes.
Mm.
Because you know, there are times where people, I can tell when I'm more irritable or when I just really just want to return whatever I'm given, even the worst,
mm.
it's because I'm insecure at that time, like, you know, I'm not having as much time, so I'm apart from reality. Mm-hmm. And so I've noticed that the more time I spend and the more I'm convinced and completely convinced of God's love for me, mm-hmm. even when I feel people being judgmental, I genuinely feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you must be so burdened right now. I'm right. so sorry. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, there, because it's a lot easier to come across as judgmental and angry than to come across as hurt. Mm-hmm. Right? Because coming across as hurt is a very vulnerable state yes. to be mm-hmm. in. It's a lot more powerful to be mean and judgmental mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, I'm going to push back here, and I appreciate this discussion, and this totally, I am a judgmental person, I confess, and so are you, and so we're all in this together, yeah? Okay. But now we are encountering a generation that is kind of flipping to the other side, and they want to judge no one, mm-hmm. right? They're like, you can't say anything is wrong. You mm-hmm. can't say anyone. I don't really care about you. I'm not going to look at your life. I'm not going to get into all your business. And and especially in the social distancing world, mm-hmm. we have our space. And frankly, there's a lot of people who are very comfortable with that without getting into messy lives.
Right.
Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 9, which is really the apex of this whole section. Mm-hmm. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged that both Jews and Greeks, that's the two categories mm-hmm. there of people, that they are all under sin. And you have this whole Bible study from the Old Testament. I want to go to John chapter 7 really quickly. And the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 24, that Jesus says here, do not judge according to appearance. I can hear amens out there. People are saying, awesome, awesome, awesome. Do not judge, lest you be judged, right? But then Jesus continues mm-hmm. and says, but judge with righteous judgment. Mm-hmm. And then this gives me so much hope that in this judgment, this is what's so funny. The humanity is scared of the judgment. God will find out that I'm a sinner. But the reality is, according to chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Romans, we're all sinner friends. We are all in the same boat. And we need a righteous judge who will get us out. And hopefully that's your prayer. I know that's our prayer. I know we skimmed over a lot of juicy stuff. We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org and get into our study guides of the book on Romans. We'll see you next week when we look at Romans chapter 3 and 4. See you next week.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.